brought to you by bedroombattlefield.com. This is the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. It's Matthew with you here, and it's another Question of the Month episode. It's that time again. Going into February, we're going to be hearing your answers to the question about stories, about your named characters and their adventures and maybe misfortunes on the tabletop. So we'll get to that very shortly. First up, I just wanted to give a wee bit of hobby progress. I have at last finished my Orc and Goblin army in 15mm. I've been talking about this. I looked back, it's literally been... It was the start of August 2023. I started on this 15mm project with the two armies. And yeah, that's the last coat of varnish on. So that's them all done. And all being well, I will be playing a game of Hobgoblin with Dr. Spork in a couple of days' time, getting both those armies on the tabletop. So I've done a very quick YouTube video just showing both armies on the table. I managed to set that up already because I wanted to have a wee dry run of the game just to get a feel for it. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And I've got a lot of photos of both armies as well. I'll make a short link for that actually. You'll find it at bedroombattlefields.com/hobgoblin. And I'll put all the photos and video and everything else in there for you if you're interested. So no sooner had I finished these two armies than I accidentally, if that's the right word, started on a small Chaos army at 15mm. I blame John for this, JCB in the Discord. He sent me, for the Secret Santa, he sent me this Manticore, and I ended up on the Ralpartha site and I bought a little like Chaos champion to ride the Manticore. So I called him, what was it, Baron Grib. And the Manticore is called Witherspoon. You'd have to see it spelt to understand. But anyway, I had that wee Manticore. And then I had a unit of Chaos Warriors. They were supposed to be allies for the Orc and Goblins. And I thought to myself, well, I've got the Great Unclean one now. I've got Plague Bearers in 15mm. So I ended up back on the Ralpartha site. So what did I pick up? 15 Beastmen. So a unit of 15 Beastmen at 15mm. I've got four Chaos Warriors on horses, I've got four Minotaurs, and I've got four Beastmen on, it's like cows or bulls, so it's like a decent little Chaos army, really cool aesthetic. I mean, Ralpartha, you can't go wrong with Ralpartha, can you? I also, when I was there, bought in 28mm, because I've got this Nurgle Warband in 28mm, so I got this Chaos Warrior with a slug body, like he's a slug from the waist down. So again, really cool miniature. So that'll be my next wee painting project, but it's nothing too vast like compared to what I've just painted my way through. And yeah, I'm going to enjoy it, and it'll be another option when it comes to playing Hobgoblin. Whether they will go in as allies with the Orc and Goblins, or they could be a totally standalone army alternatively. So yeah, that's it. Plenty painting and a game coming up, which is cool. Still been playtesting my solo rule set and trying to beat that into shape. Like I said before, if anyone's interested in playtesting that, you could do so in the Discord, bedroombattlefields.com/discord. There's a playtesting channel, and I'll try and keep the rules in there up to date when I make wee changes. But I'd really appreciate anyone trying that out and giving me feedback on it as well. So a shout out for a couple of podcasts now. I want to give a wee mention to a new show that I've been listening to from David, aka Axe Annex, in tow with Ivan of Nordic Weasel and 5 Parsecs fame. They've got a miniature hobby podcast called The Bad Internet Friends, and it's definitely well worth a listen. So I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. And a podcast that was a YouTube channel as well, Jordan Sorcery, which I think a lot of people are already familiar with. I'm probably quite late to the party here, but that's the name of a YouTube channel I'd seen quite a lot over the last couple of years, I'm sure. And it looks like that has recently been made available as a podcast and all the podcast apps as well. So really great interviews on there. Latterly just heard Mike Hutchinson, but he's got Rick Priestley and a whole load of totally household names in the hobby. And he's a really good conversationalist, a really good interviewer. So Jordan Saucery, I'd seen the name written down, and it wasn't till he said it out on the show I was like, I get it, like Jordan Saucery, Sordan Saucery. I'm very slow, so I'm probably the last person that I've caught on to that wee play of words. But great podcast. Again, I know a lot of yous like me listen to stuff when you're painting, and sometimes you do end up burning through it all, so it's always good to have these other wee shows on your rotation as well. So I think that's just about it for the preamble. We'll dive into our question of the month submissions now. The question was, or the invitation, if you like, was to tell us about your favourite named characters that you've created. You know, the miniatures, the stories they've been involved in, and the various tabletop experiences. So let's dive in.
Hi, Dave here from Carrick. I'm talking about named characters on the tabletop. About a month ago, I posted some newsletters from an old Necromunda campaign that I did like 20 years ago, maybe. And a couple of characters from that, you'll see them both mentioned in the, I think the sixth one in the obituaries. Sadly, it was the end of Leatherface, who was, my wee brother had a Cawdor gang who, he named them all after, you know, famous serial killers, mass murderers, movie slasher villains. So that's where the name Leatherface came from. It wasn't actually the fact that after a couple of games in, this fella had accrued a couple of serious injuries, one of which was horrible scars. If you played the game, you'll know Horrible Scars basically gives your character, you know, this, like, you know, such a grim appearance that he causes fear. So when that happened, we were like, oh, class, you know, Leatherface, he's got horrible scars. That makes sense. That's brilliant. But the trouble was, you know, as this guy got better and better, Dan Haddam is like... The mini has a las gun or something, but we weren't playing What You See Is What You Get. So Dan Haddam is a hand-to-hand combat guy, and he had all these ferocity skills, and on paper he was an absolute beast. But the trouble was, with his horrible scars, he would charge somebody, they would panic and run, he would fail his charge and be left hanging, and then he would just get gunned down. So this fella ended up, you know, on paper he looked like a monster, but every time he tried to engage, it just fell short, because his horrible scars would mean you know, his victim would run, as you know, as opposed to be left a quivering wreck and, you know, and destroyed by his mighty hand-to-hand prowess. So Leatherface, the obituary says he was rightly feared, but it was more that he caused fear and it wasn't actually very useful. And I think as well, he had frenzy. I think he picked up a head wound, so he didn't have a choice. If he got within, you know, 8 inches or something of an enemy, he had to charge because of the frenzy. So I think, you know, people were like dropping a juve within 8 inches of him, making him charge this guy. The juve would panic and flee. He would be left hanging. And that's how he was to undo Leatherface. Until the day that he encountered another frenzied hand-to-hand master, who I think the obituary says maybe... was one of the Hulkamania guys. Sedge named all his guys after pro wrestlers. So, yeah, I think Shamrock maybe got into contact with Leatherface. Didn't run. He was frenzied as well, so he probably didn't have to test, and just destroyed Leatherface. Who, you know, that was the end of him. The other story on the topic of you know, rightly feared. The youngest player in the game, a wee fella called Wilson, I think way early on, his settlement gave him a free juve, and wasn't really prepared, you know, to take on an extra guy. He had 10 greds left in his stash, and he was like, oh, I don't know what to do with this guy. You know, We were like, well, he's got a free knife. Give him another hand weapon. Send him up. He can be your meat shield. That's what Jews are good for. And I don't know if, you know, Wilson being the youngest guy was a wee bit like, yeah, you know, send the wee young guy. I can be as contemptuous as you lot. So, you know, I'm not even going to give him a name. I'm just going to give him, what can I get for 10 creds? A sword. All right. He doesn't even have a gun. Hilarious. Let's go. So the thing was that this nameless Jew acquitted himself really well and got, like, literally made a name for himself. So every battle, he took out another opponent, you know, got extra experience, got better skills. After his first battle, he was maybe given a name. After the second battle, he was given a promotion. So he might have been Barry, and then he might have been Barry Parry because his parry skill was, like, kicking ass. And then he might have been Sergeant Parry. But by the end, he was Ambassador Parry of Death.
If you're in the market for a t-shirt, mug, sticker, or magnet with Goblin Green bases written on it, then today is your lucky day. We've teamed up with TeePublic to create a merch store for the podcast, which you could visit by going to bedroombattlefields.com/store. So go and get yourself some Goblin Green bases branded merch today, and bonus points if you send in a photo of you being escorted out of your local games workshop. That's bedroombattlefields.com/store. And now, back to the show.
So my favourite character from any of the games I've played, or favourite characters, plural, have been the ones that my daughter and I created for Burrows and Badgers when I first got back in the hobby. So this was 2018, and we were looking at Burrows and Badgers, and we were thinking about, yeah, this looks really great. My daughter was really interested in it. And we didn't have the miniatures. We had downloaded the rules for free off the Burrows and Badgers website. I don't really totally recall exactly what I saw when, but, you know, we got the rules. We had looked at those. And this was before the Osprey printed version. So it was like a kind of beta set of rules. And we used chess pieces, cut out circles of card for 50 millimeters, 30 millimeters, whatever they were, for the different size bases, and blue tack the chess pieces onto here, and use some Playmobil to create a playing surface, a terrain on a dining room table. And we were just going through and we were deciding who was who, and okay, this is an otter, this is a beaver, this is a badger, this is a hare, this is a tortoise, this is all the different animals that we were choosing. And all we were choosing is the most simplistic names. So it was, you know, Mike Mouse, and not non-Disney copyright infringing name there. And yeah, Ollie Otter and Barry the Beaver. Actually, it was Barry the Beaver. It wasn't Barry Gibb, but it was definitely Barry Beaver. And we had a whole series of characters. And we, for some reason, limited it that, you know, there was only one of each animal type that we were going to play with. And we created the chess pieces and we wrote on the paper which one was which. And then we used those to make warbands from. And what we ended up with was a really great story. And these characters started taking on a life of their own. We were playing a kind of campaign mode. So we did about five or six games. And we were using the in-between battles rules and accruing extra skills and extra points and so on. And although none of this is written down, and I can't remember the names specifically, and I was talking to my daughter the other day and asking her, can you remember? She said, I can't quite. But there's something about that very first instance of creating these characters. And even though they were just chess pieces, they didn't even look like the things that we wanted. But we were shopping on the Burrows and Badgers website and going, oh, well, let's buy that miniature. And we actually ended up buying the miniatures we liked based on the characters who had done best for us and who had really kind of come through the campaign. So the first miniatures I got getting back into the hobby were purchased off the back of that character creation and that naming of the characters. So not quite an answer directly to your question in terms of a specific character and what have they been up to and where the name come from and so on, but more a story about how the character names and the character stories kind of really propelled me and my daughter back into the hobby. And yeah, it's a massive part of it for me, is that storytelling aspect. I think now that I'm playing a lot more battle games, a lot more kind of full-scale war games, maybe I'm not thinking about it quite so much. Whereas when it was skirmish gaming to start with, because of, you know, having simply fewer miniatures, then the individual name characters was more of a thing. So perhaps I need to go through my Wood Elf army now and name all of my heroes and my characters and give them all little stories. see how they fare on the tabletop and track their progress as we go. Okay, keep up the good work with the brilliant podcast. Excellent guests, as always, including myself. And no, seriously, though, these Question of the Month episodes, like I said before, oh, brilliant. I can't wait to hear other people's suggestions. Toodaloo.
Hi, Matthew. This is Jordan from Michigan, USA. Incidentally, on the Discord, I go by Jordan. So, my named character is Baznag Shakaboy. As keen-eared listeners may have picked up, he is an orc, specifically a weird boy shaman made for my very colorful army of snake bites. Baznag was one of my first in-depth conversions, put together from a few different kits, plus some bits of plastic card, wooden beads, and other things. He's rather squat and pale for an orc, somewhat reminiscent of a latter-day Marlon Brando, but with a Tesla coil backpack, hot pink mohawk, and black leather pants. As the army was built for one-page rules, Grimdark Future, and the rules stated that he was supposed to have a melee weapon of some kind, in addition to the crazy lightning vomit and everything, so I attached a little buddy on his shoulders, a Grot with a flail. And as I painted them up, I imagined this guy serving as his Baznag's interpreter, relaying the ancient orc's mad murmurings to the rest of the tribe. Baznag's shining moment came when I brought him to the big 3-on-3 game hosted by Carl in the Chicago Skirmish War Games Club last year. You know, I had a squad of boys with Baznag at the rear. They came upon a group of alien hive floating spore creatures. You know, determined to have a good scrap, you know, the 10-orc mob declared a charge, and my opponent warned me ahead of time that the spores had a tendency to explode on contact, but seeing that for an orc, a good death meant one that was violent or at least funny, I figured so much the better if it's both. So they charged, and when the green-tinged vapor cleared, only Baznag remained in one piece. Nevertheless, he soldiered on, clearing another group of alien hive units with a blast of warp lightning, and took control of the objective they'd been guarding. Then, for whatever reason, he remained there for the rest of the game while, you know, battles raged on elsewhere on the table. Maybe my opponents underestimated the potentially senile weird boy, or maybe they lost sight of him amidst Carl's beautiful city terrain, but when the game was called for time, there was Baznag holding the objective that won the battle for our side. So, yeah, that's my special little guy. Thanks.
Hello, Matthew. It's Ed from the Discord and Sussex here. Just calling you up to tell you a little bit about some of my named models. So, first of all of my models have a name. They're all called Jeff. My wife refers to every miniature I own as Jeff, named after her uncle Jeff, who was quite a character. And it's actually how the wizard Jeff got his name when we were looking for a name for our character for the Shade campaign. I mentioned the name Jeff was mentioned, and I said, oh, that's what my wife calls all my miniatures. And so thus, the wizard Jeff got the name Jeff. But I have other named characters. So I have a Blood Axe Commando Orc called Picnic, also named by my wife because she walked in on a solo game where a lone Blood Axe Commando was sat on a hill. She said, what's he doing? Is he having a picnic? And thus, Picnic was named. I have another Orc who has a consistent name called Crom. Crom Fatbelly is a orc from the Nightmare Miniatures range, and he is modeled to be a sci-fi version of Grom the Paunch. I still call him Crom because I like the name. This is also, he shares the name with a contemporary graphic novel artist who I'm a big fan of, called Crom. Who also did the artwork for Hobgoblin. Their next model I've got would be the Beastman, Wee Billy. Wee Billy got the name just because I needed a name for a model in a warband where I was running a narrative game with a couple of friends that I was GMing, and I like to give models names in that instance. Those names don't often stick, but Wee Billy did, because Wee Billy became a legend at the table. He survived 3 grenade attacks, one of which was stuffed straight down his gullet, and he simply let it explode inside and burped out the resulting explosion into the guardsman's face, killing the guardsman and surviving himself. He's gone on to have many other exploits. He invariably survives against the odds, and leads my Chaos Beastmen superbly well. So that's the wee Billy. And then finally, we have the goat. The goat is a literal model of a goat. He comes from the old school miniatures Chaos Space Dwarfs range. And I was running a campaign with some friends of Space Widows. And one of my models was the pet of a Chaos Space Dwarf Sorcerer. And it was the goat. Now, this goat, I thought, was just a fun little character who would run around, be a bit quicker than the rest of my Chaos Space Dwarfs. And, you know, would just be a bit of fun. He ended up getting into fights with Ogryns and headbutting them into submission. He scored more points in that campaign than all of my other models combined, and in fact won me the campaign. He gained teleporting powers, and even beyond the campaign, when I sit down with that group of friends and I put that model on the table, everyone goes, "Oh no, you brought the goat. He is the greatest of all time. He is deadly. He is tiny. And he will invariably appear behind an Ogryn and batter them into submission on turn one. And I love him so much." So those are five of my named characters, my main named characters that I really sort of return to again and again. There are some others, but those are my favorites. So yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else calls their models. And have a fantastic day. I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Hello, Matthew. This is Carl Paulson of Chicago Skirmish War Games. I'd like to introduce you and the listeners to Clawback Singetooth. Clawback Singetooth is a dragon of much renown, the leader, or oftentimes the co-leader, of my Chaos Bad Guys army, the Night Herons of the Black Crown. I painted him up about a dozen years ago. His source is interesting. He was given to me for free by a member of the Reaper Miniatures Forum. He is a Safari toy brand paint and play dragon. He used to be able to buy a pack of two identical white PVC dragons with some crappy paints, and you could paint them yourself. So I opted for better paints, but painted him up and based him up. It roughly covers a 50 by 100 base. And he's led the Night Herons of the Black Crown through quite a number of games, different rule sets over the years. He first saw action in Song of Blades and Heroes. Then he went on to be a god, actually, in Of Gods and Mortals. He has led the army through at least three editions of Kings of War. And now Age of Fantasy as well. He's quite an active guy. He's, always kind of in the centerpiece of my army. He's usually the only unit that flies, so he does something interesting in almost every game. And it's just fun to see what he's going to do. And you never can tell, because dragons are wily like that. So from humble beginnings as a toy dragon to the mighty character he is now, Clawback Singetooth is my nomination for my most memorable figure. I hope you all have equally memorable stories with your own characters, and I look forward to hearing what they are. Thank you.
Hello, Matthew. Bruce here from Norwich. I'll keep this brief because time is short. Not literally. Norwich isn't in a fantasy island, but it's close to my bedtime. So, named characters. I could talk about the great Gazarak Brittle Priest, my Chaos Dwarf sorcerer, or maybe Lamagoth the Bloodfist, his second in command. But instead, I'll take you through my Orcs and Goblins special characters. They are, from top to bottom, Big Nut. I won't go into his namesake because it's a family-friendly show. Then we have Big Stick, his battle standard bearer. Big Bang, his shaman. And then Nitpick, their sub-goblin shaman. That was it. Oh, and Clint Awkward as well. That's because he had no name. I was playing a game with him and I realized I hadn't named him. The Orc with no name, Clint Awkward, Clint Eastwood. There we go. So, nice 80 seconds of orky, dorky nonsense. Keep up the great podcast. Appreciate every episode. I'm actually just fresh off listening to your one with Matthew and it kept me very much entertained. Matthew? No, Mark. There we go. See, I told you it's near my bedtime. Anyway, toodaloo. Have fun, everyone.
Hello, everyone. Callum, aka Dr. Spork here. As someone who doesn't get many games in, I don't have much to draw on for this question. But I do have one little story that folks who frequent the Bedroom Battlefields Discord may be familiar with. A long time ago, in the misty past of the 1990s, I collected Space Orcs. It was a time when Games Workshop actively encouraged converting your models in wild and outlandish ways. So, I decided that my war needed a war boss, a big war boss, a well-equipped war boss, a Blood Axe war boss to rival Gazgul Thraka himself. So, I set to work, bulking out a knob in mega armor. I gave him a chest of medals, an enormous peaked cap, a cigar, a base covered in diced sprue, a ridiculously oversized set of epaulets, and a silly name. And, being a teenage boy, that name had to be a bit rude. And so was born the Right Horrible Commissar Big Knob Grimshag, Prime Orc of the Orcus Heresy. And I'm sure back in the 90s, he had many glorious victories and many ignominious defeats. Sadly, I don't really remember any of them. Unfortunately, like almost everything I had in the 90s, I sold him for beer money in my early 20s. But when I got back into the hobby a few years back, one of my first projects was to recreate him. So I did. And a couple of weeks back, he had his first rather embarrassing outing. He was to be the special guest in my first game with Jeff, the Wandering Wizard, where he would be a terrifying monster, stalking the battlefield, attacking anyone who came near him, and generally causing chaos. Unfortunately for him, it did not go according to plan, and the two opposing psykers used him in the galaxy's first game of Orc Ping Pong, batting him backwards and forwards across the board for pretty much the whole game. This was not what I had hoped for his glorious comeback. Anyway, I'm sure he'll do better next time. Thanks as always, Matthew, for the wonderful podcast, and I'm really looking forward to our upcoming game of Hobgoblin. If anyone is interested, they can follow me as Dr. Spork on Mastodon or Blue Sky. And if you're in 3D printing, I have a bunch of 90s inspired models on Cults 3D and my mini factory. Cheers.
All right, then. Thank you very much to everyone who submitted a clip in January. I know this was a trickier one. You know, some of these questions, I think almost everyone's got an answer to. And this maybe, you know, didn't fit the bill for everyone. And I totally appreciate that. So I was thinking what might be a, for lack of a better term, more inclusive question in February. It's a shorter month as well, obviously. And one thing we've all got in common, as you found out as well for me at the start of the episode, is buying new stuff. So let's just have a bit of a confession time this month. Tell us, get in touch at bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail and tell us your last three hobby purchases. So this could be anything, paintbrushes, paints, obscure miniatures, rule sets, you know, whatever you've bought, the last three things, we all want to hear about it. Let's get it all out in the open And there'll be no judgment here. You're not going to be alone, certainly, in this confession time. So, like I say, bedroombattlefields.com/voicemail to get the clips in. And I need them in before Thursday, the 27th of February. All right, that's just about it for this episode of the Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. I've got a few conversations lined up with some really cool folk, and I've just had one with Mike Hutchinson and Glenn Ford of The Rule of Carnage. That's going to be the episode next week, so I'm sure you'll enjoy that one. Remember to subscribe and follow and all that sort of call to action based stuff that I'm supposed to say at the end of the episode. Thanks as always for listening, and we'll talk again on the next one.